Alright, everybody, happy Monday. Holiday week. Rah, rah, rah. Two craps and three giggles. Hooray, hooray. I'm going to be celebrating the birthday of a fictitious character on a fictitious day that has nothing to do with that fictitious character. Yeah. Just like Easter. Nothing to do with the Jesus myth. It's another myth that they slapped on the thing. An old pagan Easter fertility festival preceded by a 40-day period of fasting that has nothing to do with the Jesus myth either, at least the way the Catholics practice it. But that is the way the ancient pagans observed their springtime festival, preceded by a 40-day period of fasting. Nothing anywhere can be found in Christian history having to do with the great Jesus that you could make a connection with, you know, for that 40-day fasting period. Nothing. The only thing 40 days in the Jesus myth is the alleged 40-day fasting period in the desert while he was tempted of the devil. That's it. But there's no 40-day fasting preceding the crucifixion. Nothing. Nothing. They got it, like so many other things, from ancient paganism. And so it is with Christmas. Nothing whatsoever indicates that Jesus was born in the month of frickin' December. If anything, according to the description of the, you know, the environment at the time of his birth, it was probably sometime in September. But lo and behold, in conformance with everything else pagan, you know, with La Catholica and its traditions, they have the old pagan winter solstice celebration originating with, you know, the birth of Tammuz. That's what was celebrated on December 25th, corresponding roughly with the winter solstice celebration. You know, that's where that came from. Jesus Christ. And then your All Souls Day, on and on and on. God damn it, man. Jesus Christ. If you want to play make-believe and believe in, you know, Jewish fantasies, at least follow the Jewish book. But to pick and choose, to mix, to hodgepodge ancient Jewish mythology with ancient pagan mythology, mix it all together, and presto, now come up with what you claim is the true original form. Get the hell, frickin' town. Somebody sent me a really good video last night on the Trinity. It was kind of comical. The guy, you know, devours the Trinity, and at the end, he's throwing eggs. He writes the word Trinity on a, you know, a billboard or whatever, and he's throwing eggs at it. I just demolished the doctrine, and, you know, he's making a charade out of all. It was kind of funny. Unfortunately, though, as right as he is, the whole goddamn thing's a big joke. There's no hint of truth to it historically or biblically as far as it being, you know, an original Christian teaching. No, there's nothing Christian about it. There's nothing Jewish about it, which is what Christianity is or was. It's Jewish religion. Nothing Jewish about it. Nothing Christian about it. Totally pagan. It was incorporated into Christianity in the 4th century like so many other goddamn frickin' homemade pagan lies. But anyway, you know, he's right about that. But, of course, he's a Bible dupe. So he wants you to stop following one lie so you can start following another. Oh, Christ. Well, I was on that dead-end road myself not too long ago. When I discovered the Trinity, I thought I made the ultimate discovery. And yet I'm still following the big lie, the Bible. Jesus Christ, man. Look how many layers of bullcrap that this tribe has sold us ceaselessly. for centuries, yea, millennia on end, so that when you find out one lie, you think you've arrived. But if you dig deeper, if you're studious enough and have the cojones enough to admit you've been duped and that everything you've based your life on is a lie, you dig a little deeper and you find out, holy crap, that foundation was a lie too. So the previous lie I discovered really, in a sense, doesn't even mean anything anymore because the whole frickin' foundation that that lie was based upon is a lie too. And then you dig a little deeper and God damn it, that lie, oh man, that's a lie too? So then you start wondering, what isn't a lie? What isn't a lie? If you can get to that point, then you've arrived. You might never figure all of them out, but when you can get to the point where you can admit that, God damn it, probably everything is a lie, when you've seen enough of them and you have an open enough mind to admit, God damn it, I've probably been duped about every frickin' thing I've ever been told my entire goddamn life. If you can ever get to that point, you've arrived. Even though you might not ever figure out all the lies, if you can at least admit that, because that is the reality of our wonderful frickin' world we live in. We've been lied to about every freaking thing under the sun. Man, and the more I dig, the more my jaw drops. Holy Christ. It doesn't stop. I just made a major discovery. Well, it wasn't my discovery. Somebody sent me a very interesting link that I put some show notes together on. I'll be sharing at some point pertaining to 9/11. I won't wait till 9/11. This is too big. I'll get to it sometime before that. I'm not sure when. I got so many other things I want to cover. But, I thought I covered that thing thoroughly. I thought I had all the bases covered. Holy crap. No. Not only did I missed something big. This thing is phenomenal. So I'll be sharing that soon. Wow, man. Just when you think you've heard it all, keep digging. Keep digging. Thought I had that one covered. Wrote a whole book on the goddamn thing, and I wasn't even aware of this. Of course, this thing is so big, it could be a book all on its own. If I was to include this in my 9/11 book to update it in the future, I would be twice its size. But anyway, we'll get to that later. Let's see. Well, I forgot to mention today's date. First, 2015. I try to remember that at the beginning of every show. And the call-in number, for those that don't have it, want to call in sometime during the broadcast. Hopefully I'll remember to check the screen. But the number to do so is 646-716-4401. Got a guest tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow is James McCaney. Some of you, I'm sure, are already familiar with his work. Should be interesting. We're going to be talking about, well, all kinds of stuff will be all over the map. But he's done a lot of interesting research, not only into politics, but alternative science. So definitely talking about that. And then Wednesday's show, he called in one day last week. He's a Sandy Hook researcher. He's got some new stuff on the Adam Lanza fiasco. Oh, he's not a real person. Yeah. Looks like they photoshopped him. But anyway, he'll be the guest on Wednesday. Yeah, he simply goes by the name of Larry. Anyway, and while I'm at it, let me just mention really quickly the three websites. People have been asking me, what's the best place to get my shows. These are the three websites that currently carry my archives. There's blogtalkradio.com/truthhurtsradio. So again, that's blogtalkradio.com/truthhurtsradio. Then there's renegadebroadcasting.com/Charles-Giuliani/. Again, renegadebroadcasting.com/Charles-Giuliani/. And then finally, blogtalkradio.com/truthhurtsradio/podcast. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/truthhurtsradio/podcast. Those are the three websites. And also, anybody wants to comments or whatever, my email is truthhurtsradio. Request, you know, for show notes, or you get some suggestions for show topics. I've gotten some really good ideas for show topics over the years from listeners. One guy last night sent me a suggestion, something that I contemplated doing, oh, I don't know, about a year ago. And somehow it wound up on the back burner. I didn't pursue it. But it's probably just as well because in the set of notes I had put together, I had slapped a bunch of stuff together, but I hadn't cleaned it up and edited it. You know, I just got tossed aside and lost in the background. Anyway, I'm glad because some of the stuff he sent me and some of the stuff I looked up last night that jumped out at me that I hadn't seen before is going to make the show much more kick-arse. So I'm glad I waited. But, you know, everything in its due season, I guess. But anyway, the email, if you want, you know, request show notes or whatever, it's truthhurtsradio@AOL.com, spell hertz like megahertz, H-E-R-T-Z, truthhurtsradio@AOL.com. All right, let's pick up what we left off on Friday, talking about this Rain Man theme popping up in movies, not just the movie Rain Man, other movies, music videos, songs, you know, in song lyrics over and over and over. In interviews, various celebrities making reference to Rain Man, quote unquote. We ended off on Friday, and I'll just back up a little bit. I read this set of lyrics from Eminem's song, My Darling. We already saw where he has a song called Rain Man, and how he identified Rain Man as either the devil himself or someone who's possessed of the devil. And as we'll see, going through other references to Rain Man, it can carry either meaning. It can either refer to the devil himself or one of the devil's minions, if you will, playing this role of, quote, the Rain Man being the source of the rain. In this case, rain appears to mean, in fact, quite often does mean, you know, the source of blessings. Which is why you have so much talk about, you know, them selling their souls to the devil, like Bob Dylan, you know. As Rain Man said, I read on Friday, you know, fame comes with a price. They know that before they even get into the business, but they're willing. Or at least they think they're willing. I don't think they even realize what the implications of that are, what the full implications are, and the hell that they're going to be put through in their capacity as a movie star or a music star. It comes with a lot of prices, actually. One of them is you have to lose your soul, literally. Lose yourself, your independence, everything that makes you, you, you're going to lose it. I mentioned last week, Amy Winehouse said that I'm my own person. I do things my own way. That was her big downfall. She didn't get the message. Her programming had broken early on. You know, if she did get the message, she had forgotten it. Or, you know, the fact that she verbalized that publicly sent a message. Okay, she's got to go. If we can't get her back into rehab and reprogram her, she has to go. They do not tolerate independence, ladies and gentlemen. whether slave, whether puppet, you'll do as you're told, just like politicians. You try to exercise any independence and do what you want, independent of what your puppet masters tell you to do, you will be JFK'd in any field. You'll at least be fired, if not fired at. You know, if you're a college professor, maybe they'll simply just fire you if you don't have too much attention. Not, you know, you're not in the public eye that much, other than just your student body. But unless you're well known, big in the media, yeah, then they'll fire at you. But other than that, usually they'll just fire you. And should you try to get attention in the media, well, yeah, they'll just demonize you. You'll be marginalized so significantly that, you know, it doesn't matter that you speak out. In fact, that maybe they prefer you do because they can just laugh at you all the more. Your colleagues will come out and demonize you. You're ruined. You'll never get a job teaching again. That's, in a sense, even worse than murder. When you're dead, it's over with. You don't have to worry anymore. But when they do that to you, demonize you and wreck your career and your chance of ever getting a job in that field again, your life is completely ruined. That's more fun than even killing you. They can sit back and watch you spiral down, probably become an alcoholic or something, and wind up in the gutter. They love to wreck lives, ladies and gentlemen. They love it. They get off on it, the sick, twisted bastards. Anyway, in his song, Eminem's song, My Darling, the lyrics portray the devil as speaking to him, saying, and I read this on Friday, let me just recap. This, again, is supposed to be the devil now talking to him, calling him my darling. This is what you wanted your whole life, right, boo? Meaning, you know, fame and riches. So I've given this to you. This, you know, he's not just slapping these lyrics together randomly. He's actually telling you his life story. But do understand, at least as far as Eminem is concerned, he did this willingly. He literally, you know, like Bob Dylan, he sold his soul to the devil. In this case, you could say devil is a synonym for, you know, his Jew pig masters. Collectively, they're the devil he sold his soul to. But nevertheless, this is what, and they're the Rain Man. They rain down on him, big jukebox, as long as he does as he's told. This is what you wanted your whole life, right, boo? Look at this house. Look at these cars. I'm so nice. Ooh. He's reminding him, look, I gave you all these things as I promised. I gave you fame. I gave you a nice house, nice cars. Take a look. I am so nice, aren't I? Oh, but you didn't know that fame has a price too? Reminding him, oh, did you forget? I'm going to call the shots. You got to do as you're told. That you're just seeing the downside too? Payback was already coming for him at this point when he wrote these lyrics. Pressure is enormous, if you even have a conscience. And for those that do, they try to drown it out with alcohol and drugs. That is why most Hollywooders are all frigged up. Most music stars are all frigged up and strung out on goddamn dope and alcohol. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, look no further. That's why. It's not because they can't handle the fame. That's not it. They knew from day one, as they were climbing that ladder of success, that they were going to be famous and have millions of people looking at them. They get over stage fright early on. You do. I can tell you firsthand, I used to be petrified to raise my hand in class and give an answer. I was so afraid that a teacher was going to randomly call on me. I was that way until the sixth grade. I don't know why. It was just some weird phobia I had that I had. Little did I know I was one day going to be a public speaker. I don't just mean on radio. being a frickin', all those years I worked as a goddamn, frickin' minister, I had no, absolutely no problem going up in front of people. Didn't matter the size of the audience. Sometimes I would preach in front of a small church, sometimes a big one. Didn't matter. Had no problem with it. I used to run a local cable TV show that serviced three big towns, actually cities. I used to run into people all the time in the supermarket. Hey, you're that guy on TV. I totally lost that fear, and that's how it is as a an actor, actress, movie, a musician, whatever. If you have any fear of, appearing in public, you get over that. Once you start performing, your first, second, or third, you might be a little nervous, but once you get into the groove, you're fine with it. And if you're going out in public, and it might, yeah, it's pressure sometimes. Sometimes you want to be left alone or wish you could have some privacy, but that doesn't drive you to the point of drinking and drugs. No. That's the excuse people always give. Oh, well, yeah, those Hollywoods, they just can't handle their fame. No. That's not why they drink. That's not why they do drugs. The pressure they are under is intoxicating. It's choking. It's devastating. And they can't share it with anybody. Oh, there's been a few that have tried, most of which have wound up dead. They can't share it with anybody because they know goddamn well it's the end of their life if they do. They can't escape it either. They've seen what's happened to so many other movie stars or musicians. They know what their fate is. Should they open their mouth, they're going to be dead. And yet they can't get out of it. It's like a cult. Once you enter, you can't leave. They own you. And they know full goddamn well, especially if they're big money grabbers, that it's do or die. Play the game, keep playing the role of a puppet, whether you like it or not, because if you don't, they're going to kill you simply because, if no other reason, not only out of fear that they don't want you opening your mouth, but they know, and you as a star knows, you know that. They'll kill you because you're worth more to them dead than alive. If you try to pull away, they will kill you because your album sales will soar. They'll make more money off of you dead than they did alive. Look what they're faced with. This is the price here that Eminem was talking about in these lyrics. Didn't you know? That fame has a price too? A big price. Oh, sure, you're making big bucks, living the high life, got a great house, great car, no financial worries. Oh, but you've got a whole new set of worries. A whole new set. Too many of them are too quick to sign on the dotted line. Yeah, sacrifices, they got to make sure. Sure, yeah. Yeah, changes are going to happen. Yeah, whatever. Okay, where do I sign? They have no idea the rat hole they're going to tunnel down into. Some of them already do, but they've been so inundated in it since they were kids and been MK Ultra'd, they don't even have the mental wherewithal to make an intelligent decision, to not continue with the path they're on. But for those who come into it later in life that aren't born into it, oh, they have no clue. They might be warned. I'm sure there are those on the inside who try to warn them. I had ministers, in so many words, who tried to warn me not to bother. I had one guy tell me, it seems to me that you're going to have a difficult time, in this business. Because you don't know how to walk, how to toe the line or sit on the fence, so to speak. I was too outspoken. That was the warning. As I would go out and interact, you know, we would be sent out on, they're like part of, you know, for different classes we took, for different assignments. We'd have to go to different churches, observe them, talk with different ministers, you know. And when you do that, they start opening up. They'll share with you stuff that they won't share with a regular congregational member. Because they know you're an aspiring minister, you know. And boy, was I shocked to discover, no surprise now, understanding how these goddamn systems work, but at the time it was quite a shock to see that, holy crap, that church has the same problems too. There's corruption in that denomination too. They're, you know, they got to be puppets and do what they're told to. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I said, guys, there's no stone left unturned. All institutions operate this way. Whenever you have money and power concentrated at the top, please understand, the whole goddamn thing is a corrupt piece of raging, scheming horse crap every time, whether you have a Bürgerstein up there or not. But once you see them, you know what you're dealing with. But believe me, if the institution isn't corrupt today, if it has centralization of control and money, it will be tomorrow, even without a Bürgerstein. That's just the nature of the beast. The corruption will be much more pervasive and extreme when tribesmen are calling the shots. But human nature is such, guys. People cannot handle too much money or too much power. The exceptions to that, you can count on the fingers of one hand with three of them lopped off in the snowblower. Okay? The exceptions to that are extremely rare. People cannot handle too much money and too much power. It frigs them up and frigs everything else up around them every time. Or they'll frig everything up around them once given all that money and all that power. People can't handle it. And the tendency is, you know, to have the greed factor kick in, you can never get enough. Once you get a taste of that, you want more of it at any expense. And when you can see, because you have that high position, that you can get away with goddamn anything under the frickin' sun, because you can buy off a judge if he isn't already corrupt to begin with, buy off lawyers, buy off police, whatever, buy off the boys in Washington, the sky's the limit. You can get anything you want. That's how this world works. And that's the big carrot that they dangle in front of celebrities. You like that? You want more of that? There's plenty more where that came from. But you got to let us mold you into that triangle shape, like Amy Winehouse said. Anyway, the lyrics go on in this song. This is the devil again talking, or the Rain Man talking to Eminem. And notice how he said he wanted to be called, if he was to die and come back, he wants to be called Rain Man too. Anyway, here's the Rain Man talking to him. Lose your best friend from high school, your wife too, lose your best friend from high school, your wife too. Ain't even sure your kid likes you. In other words, you got to be willing to give up all for me. These are the words of someone who is very, very troubled inside. You wonder why his songs are so filled with anger. I'm not saying necessarily to be sympathetic for this guy, because he's telling you here that he's done what he's done knowingly, you know. But at the same time, he's not happy inside. It's, I guess you could feel sorry for him in a pathetic sort of way. He seems to be crying out here. He realizes he's screwed up. But it's too late. He can't get out. He's made his decision, and now he's got to live with it. And die with it, probably. Well, he won't be abducted into the 27 Club. He's already too old for that, I believe. But At any given moment, if they feel it necessary, they'll pull the plug on him. There's no exceptions. There's nobody too big, ladies and gentlemen, that they won't pull the plug on. Look at goddamn Elvis. Can't get any bigger of a star than that in the public eye, and yet, boom, they popped him off in such an obvious way. Once you start looking under the microscope and you realize the circumstances of his death, holy Jesus. But then again, how many others too like that? Michael Jackson. That whole story doesn't add up. They almost never do. Anyway, then the chorus comes in this same song. My darling, the devil is speaking again, and he says, if I cannot have you, then no one can. You're my darling because I possess your soul, your heart, your mind, and your body. Like I said, guys, as to whether or not he's actually referring to his belief in a literal devil, or is he referring collectively to his handlers as the devil? Either way, it doesn't matter. They certainly have control of his heart, his mind, his soul, his body, don't they? Absolutely. You're my darling because I possess your soul. Here's Eminem admitting he's possessed by the Rain Man, literally and figuratively. And then the song continues on about being possessed more. In the album Relapsed, another Eminem album, Eminem makes further references to this Rain Man entity. He probably makes reference more often than any other music artist, actually. But look how obsessed he is with this character. Yet, again, he's far from alone in this infatuation. Let's look at some other examples here. And some of these I really am not familiar with at all. I'm not a rap fan, but Fat Joe Feet and Lil Wayne. Lil as in little, Lil Wayne. In their song Make It Rain, Fat Joe Feet and Lil Wayne sing these lyrics, which are clearly supposed to be the Rain Man speaking. And here's what it says. Yeah, I'm in this business of terror. Got a handful of stacks. Better grab an umbrella. I make it rain. I make it rain on them hard. So, in this instance, again, it's a reminder, that even though the life we live sucks, we're going to get rained on and rained on hard. We're going to get lots of cash. It's kind of like a druggie with his, getting his fix. The drugs he's got to know are ruining his life, but yet he's so addicted to them, and they make him feel so euphoric at the time he takes them, he or she, that they don't think, they drown out the fact that it's ruining their life. And they feel they need it to help them cope with how frigged up their life is. It's a no-win situation. You can't go on without it. You're going to have physical and mental withdrawal symptoms, right? And at the time you're for that temporary short fleeting high, it makes you feel good. That's how it is with with fame in general. Delete you pig run, that's how it is. They want it because they get that fix, that next check they get in the mail. It's a temporary high. Oh, I can go on another shopping spree now. I can buy myself another house, a couple more cars, another yacht, whatever. It feels so good for those few fleeting moments, but then it dies down shortly after, and now you're feeling more miserable. So you need another fix. I'll do another concert. Your handlers love it because they're making money off of you. You love it because you're making more money, but you're not really happy. You're not. You're not happy for a lot of reasons, not only because you realize they got control of your life and you can't escape this friggin' rat's nest that you're this rat maze that you're trapped in, but you're not happy too because it doesn't take too long for you to realize that material things, oh, they're nice to have, but after a while you get bored with it. You realize that's not where happiness is. You become a miserable SOB pursuing something you thought was going to make you happy. It's pretty goddamn sad. You know, if you can't be content in life with wherever you're at, you're never going to be happy. You realize that? Even if you do manage to climb that ladder somehow and get a good job or start a business, like you can't even do that anymore. But, you know, if you ever achieve what the world calls success and do make a lot of money, if you're not happy without it, you're not going to be happy with it. What the hell makes you think you're going to be happy with it if you can't be happy without it? It doesn't bring happiness. It really doesn't. Anyway, I was just going to relate a story, and now it slipped me. It was a good one, too. God damn it. Between being up late wrapping presents and working on shows last night, I didn't get much sleep. Damn it, that pisses me off. I had a really good illustration now, and it's left me. Anyway. But, yeah, I'm getting philosophical here, but it's true. Yeah, it had to do with that theme, too, that materialism doesn't bring happiness. God damn it, I can't remember what the hell my illustration was. Oh, well, I remember when the damn show was over. That's usually how it goes. But if you can't learn, to appreciate the simple things in life, to find happiness by, making somebody's day, doing something. I mean, that's what really brings happiness, guys. Can you imagine how twisted this world is, how screwed up they got people's thinking? They've got most people thinking that happiness comes from being goddamn selfish and depriving others so you can hoard up more for yourself. You can't get more primal, more primitive, more debased than that. And yet that's the whole tribal modus operandi, isn't it? It always has been. The more I can suck up for myself by depriving others, oh, and they love it. They pat themselves on the back. But it's not happiness. It's psychopathy is what it is. And everybody praises them, too, all the dumbasses out there. Oh, he's done so well for himself. When people drive by and see a nice home, that's the first thing most people think. Wow, that guy's done really good for himself. If they see somebody getting out of a goddamn Ferrari or something, hey, buddy, wow, you've done really good for yourself. Congratulations. That's not what I see or what I say when I see someone like that. The first thing I ask is, who are they screwing over? You don't make juicy, fat wads of cash anymore, ladies and gentlemen, honestly. You don't. Not in this world, not the way it's so frickin' monkey rigged. If you're making big, fat wads of cash, you're automatically a criminal. How does that grab you? It's true. Once again, the exceptions to that, you can count on the fingers of one hand with half of them lopped off in the snowblower. You just don't make big fortunes anymore. You don't climb the ladder of success. You don't become famous, popular, unless you're a goddamn scumbag. You certainly don't become a candidate for the presidency now, do you? And yet how many people are praising that piece of slop billionaire Trump, worshiping the guy? Oh, it's great. I just love those comments he makes. You don't see how staged this is. You can't even log on to goddamn Yahoo or anywhere else on the internet without seeing the latest statement coming from that monkey's mouth. It is so freaking staged, goddamn it. Oh, they're getting a lot of mileage out of him. What a distraction. And yet the masses, they love it. They lick up the puppy vomit every freaking time. Oh, it's so goddamn disgusting, man. The whole freaking mess. I can't wait Christmas Day to hear the BS. I'm going to have to bring a rag with me so I can, you know, gnaw on it, bite it to keep my mouth shut. Because I know I'm going to hear people talking about the candidates, the upcoming election. I can't stand listening to that. You just want to slap people. I literally want to slap them. Will you wake up? Snap out of it, you freaking idiots. God damn it, how can you buy this? How many freaking elections have you been lied to and screwed over, and you're still falling for this? You still think there's some legitimacy to this frigged up, goddamnable fuck clothes? Sorry, folks. It's violated G rating there. This goddamn frigged up system, you think there's any legitimacy, even a hint of legitimacy to this? What the hell is the matter with you? It's gone. It's been gone for a long time. But if you can't see it now, with all the crap pulling, God damn it, what is it going to take? Anyway, in the Ya Boy song featuring Lil Wayne called, guess what? Rain Man. Ya Boy featuring Lil Wayne also has a song called Rain Man. We find these lyrics. Mr. Rain Man, can we have a rainy day? Again, talking about, you know, you rain some more money on me? Spent the last fat water cash I got on drugs or a new frickin' yacht that I don't need. I'm surrounded by millions of my fans who can barely even afford the price of a ticket to come see me at one of my concerts, but I'm living high off the hog. As long as I do what I'm told and kiss the arses of my handlers. But I need a fresh rain. Rain Man, can you rain on me today? That's the message here. Bring an umbrella, the lyrics go on to say. Please bring an umbrella. You see the umbrella theme used a lot, too, in these Rain Man songs. The theme of rain, the theme of the umbrella, the theme of the Rain Man popping up over and over and over again. In other words, I'm going to rain on you so much, you're going to need an umbrella. It's going to drown you. Paired to the lifestyle that a good many of these people have lived prior to their fame, yeah, it is like being drowned. A lot of them, a lot of these rappers went from living a poor life in the inner city to suddenly now just drowning in wealth. So much so, they need an umbrella. There's some of them that are so sold out. They don't care that they got to lose their soul, that they're, you know, a whore for their handlers. They really don't care. They don't have a conscience. They checked that at the door a long time ago. But then there are those guys who do care. They hate their life. They want out of it, but they realize they can't get out. And if they try, they're dead. Again, look how many examples just in the past couple of weeks that we've been looking at. Elvis tried to get out. They killed him. John Denver. On and on. I talked about many other examples in the past, you know, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston. In their cases, they started to speak out about their handlers. Even naming them by name. And boom, they're dead. There's no toleration. None. Zero tolerance policy. The minute it seems like you're, you know, breaking your programming, if you were MKUltra, or if you're starting to expose or speak out against, or just simply resisting your handlers, you're gone. Or if you try to sabotage your career like Elvis or Amy Winehouse, you know, thinking that's going to set you free. Oh, no, it isn't. It's going to set you free from your life. They'll kill you. All right. We can't make money off you while you're alive. You're going to refuse to sing. You're not going to perform. We'll just kill you. We'll make a hell of a lot money, more money that way anyway. Gucci Mane is another one who has a song called Rain Man. That song contains these lyrics. I'm a rain man. I make it thunderstorm. I make it hurricane. Rain this way, meaning with cash. That's what all the strippers say. Rain Man, go away. That's what all the haters say. So, in other words, the strippers say, rain this way, you know, with cash. That's what all the strippers say. But Rain Man, go away. That's what all the haters say. You know, the people that, now, in this context, Gucci Mane is referring to himself as the Rain Man. You know, the one with the cash. The strippers want his cash. Rain on us, Rain Man. But then he's talking about the haters, those who look down at him, you know, or his lyrics, and whatever, lifestyle. They're the haters that want me to go away. But anyway, notice how in this context now the Rain Man becomes the star himself or herself. I don't even know Gucci, if that's a man or a woman. I have no idea some of these frickin', nor do I care. But anyway, notice, guys, again, Rain Man. How many artists now have we looked at that not only talk about the Rain Man, but have songs called Rain Man? Well, here's another one, Rihanna. What a twisted little wretch she is. You know, I don't profess to be a mind reader. You can't know the inward thinkings of someone's mind. Dawn, what I've seen from her over the years, this bitch knows exactly what she's doing, and she's totally comfortable with it. She's a willful purveyor of filth and immorality. I don't think it's that she doesn't have a choice. I think she loves it. She revels in it. She's just totally disgusting. But anyway, in her song Umbrella, there's that theme again. She does this with Jay-Z. Jay-Z sings these lyrics, which are supposed to be Rain Man speaking, once again. And here's how it goes. Jay-Z sings, this is supposed to be Rain Man talking to Jay-Z. So Rain Man is saying, Jay, Rain Man is back with Little Miss Sunshine. Rihanna, where are you? Then Rihanna responds by singing, you had my heart, and we will never be a world apart. You're part of my entity here for infinity, forever, in other words. You're part of my entity. Check this out, guys. The Rain Man in this song is not Jay-Z that she's singing to, but someone named Rain Man. This is like a love ballad to this Rain Man character, not Jay-Z. This is really bizarre, guys. You're getting a behind-the-scenes glimpse here in these lyrics of, you know, what drives their thinking. In this instance, she's not referring, you know, to this represents a literal belief in some evil force called Rain Man. And again, whether you believe in the spiritual realm or not, it doesn't matter. Rain Man could actually be something that they do believe is real, that they have only experienced when they're in their alter ego, or when they're, you know, all drugged up and they're convinced it's something real. I don't know if you guys ever heard of the Sneblin character. I interviewed him years ago. I don't know. I wonder. The guy's got some very strange ideas, but supposedly he's a Christian now who's coming out and exposing the dark workings of Freemasonry and the occult world in general and telling of his own experiences. He relayed one story once. I think it was on RBN or something. Maybe it was on Oracle. I can't remember now. But anyway, somebody, you know, suggested I get him on. I didn't know a hell of a lot about him. So I figured, yeah, what the hell, you know, former Mason, should be interesting. But he started relaying a story that was just bizarre, totally, totally freaking bizarre. And so I kind of was cringing, you know. I'm like, oh, God, I don't want somebody going down this road on my show. This is going to ruin my freaking credibility here. But at the same time, maybe he really thought this was true because he was so drugged up at the time or whatever. Or maybe he's just a shill and says this stuff for the same reason that you have talk of the flat freaking earth or lizard people, you know, muddying up the waters. And not that there aren't people who sincerely believe in that. There are. The concepts themselves are you know, freaking BS. So I don't know if Sneblin is an example of someone who's genuinely duped and really thought that these things he saw were real from the spiritual realm, or if he is in fact just a shill and making this stuff up. But anyways, he related this story of how back when he was a Mason and he was being abducted in this ceremony into a higher degree or whatever, that this demonic entity left impressions, marks, scratches in his forehead by its talons, he said. And so I'm listening to this guy and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, come on. Oh, God damn it. I'm trying to change the subject. Really? And you know, I just, you know, I don't buy it. Sorry, just don't buy it. But at the same time, who knows? I bet if we attended the Bohemian Grove session, we might see some pretty bizarre crap going on there that we couldn't explain. There is a spiritual realm, folks. I suppose anything's possible because, you know, the only evidence I see in the spiritual realm really is evil, the presence of evil in this goddamn world. And as I said, it's the only way I can account for how these tribal bastards can get away and have gotten away for so long. We're talking thousands of years with screwing the masses and getting away with it, manipulating them completely with their propaganda machine. That seems almost superhuman to me. Almost impossible unless you have some guiding hand. So again, keep an open mind. Anything's possible. But nevertheless, this just seems so over the top to me. He said that this spiritual entity took on a physical form, some kind of bird creature, maybe an owl, and landed on his head, and that for the longest time he had, you know, you know, it cut him. The talons, you know, cut his forehead. Anyway, is this an example of somebody that really did have something happen, or is he a BS artist, or does he really think something did happen and that it came from the spiritual realm, but it was just his frickin' handlers in Masonry that created the illusion that this was something real in the spiritual world when it was really them doing it. But, you know, he, looking back, he doesn't know that it was them. He thinks it was real because he was so doped up on some hallucinogenic drug. Or maybe he was MK-Ultra. Who knows? He might not even know he was MK-Ultra. You know, there's any number of possibilities. Who knows? Who knows? You know, this stuff goes on. People do have these experiences. Bizarre, bizarre, bizarre stuff. MK-Ultra victims. You don't need, you know, the spiritual realm to explain a lot of this stuff. MK-Ultra victims have been horrifically abused And then later, when they're back into their normal personality, having been abused in their alternate personality, they have no recollection of what happened to them. So they can be told anything, and they'll believe it, especially if they're young, impressionable kids, you know. Oh, that bruise happened because of blah, 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 blah. And so they'll just accept that because they don't know otherwise. They don't know any better. They can be told that some demon did it, and we rescued you when they were the abusers, you know. God, frickin' damn it. And then there's people like, oh, God, I don't know if I want to go down that road, but goddamn Jordan Maxwell. Oh, Christ almighty. Oh, Jesus Christ. Stay the hell as far away from that frickin' that scam artist as you possibly can get, folks. You want to talk about a frickin' Freemasonic infiltrator of the truth movement? There's the perfect classic example right there. That guy is so full of it, man. Did you ever hear him talk about how he's from the Pleiades? Holy horse crap, man. He's not kidding either. Well, he's kidding, but he doesn't want you to think he is. He wants you to take him serious. He tells these stories seriously. And his gullible, mindless, drone idiots believe him. He claims he's from the Pleiades and that he was sent here by them with an important message and all, blah, 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 blah. Holy Christ. And these are supposed to be, you know, truthers. That's why, guys, I always say when it comes to, you know, anything in the supernatural, you got to be extremely cautious. I don't rule it out. I've had some weird things happen to me in the past that I can't explain, but that doesn't mean there isn't a rational explanation. I just don't have one. But I have had some funky, weird-ass crap happen to me, you know, that seems to be of a spiritual nature. But who knows? Who knows? If there is something, again, in the so-called spiritual realm or whatever, you know, in the realm that we don't see, it's goddamn evil. I can guarantee you that. But, yeah, I have had some pretty weird things over the years. I think I've relayed them in the past. I don't want to go into that now. But just things that you can't account for, things that you can't excel. That's why I somewhat have an open mind, but I am extremely skeptical at the same time. I knew someone dated someone couple of years back who about 2 years ago, who was a member of a local paranormal club, and she claimed that you know, she has heard voices audibly as well as picked them up on her EVP recorder, you know, the electronic voice phenomenon recorder. And so I asked her, when you hear these voices audibly, does it, you know, does it sound like they're down the hall in the same room? She says, oh, very often they're right in your ear. And, you know, that's pretty freaky. Now, that I've never experienced. I've had some other weird stuff happening. But I've never actually, you know, heard a voice in my ear. If I was, I was supposed to go with her on one of her excursions, but we wound up breaking up and she wanted to still be friends, but I didn't. I wasn't too happy with how things turned out. So I kind of wish, though, that I did stay friends with her to go on one of those excursions. I'd be curious. I think that would be a clincher for me. If I was in a room and I knew nobody else was around me and I heard something whisper in my ear, I think that would do it for me. The experiences I've had didn't quite do it for me, but it at least opened me up to the possibility that, oh, for example, I'll just tell this story really quick. Some of you, I'm sure, already know this story, but anyway, I was at a party one time, and I was into the occult at the time, you know, I was a big fan of Jimmy Page. So I wanted to emulate my hero, Jimmy Page. And so I wanted to make contact with the devil because Jimmy Page was a, you know, a devil fan. And owned Bola Skine, you know, the mansion that Aleister Crowley once owned on the Loch Ness. He owns, or used to own anyway, a bookstore called Equinox in London, you know, an occult bookstore. So anything occult, I wanted to be a part of it, you know. Anyway, part of my emulation of Jimmy Page, I got pretty proficient at playing guitar with a bow, electronic guitar with a bow. I figured out his technique, if anyone ever wants to try it. It's pretty cool. You get some incredibly bizarre sounds out of the damn thing. He uses an echo delay and a wah-wah pedal. That's how we got that unique sound, if anybody wants to try it. Rosin your bow up really good, and you're off and running. You'll get some amazing... Anyway, I made some pretty wild recordings, and I brought them to this party. And we had a Ouija board. And so while we're using the Ouija board, we got my bow music playing in the background. The guy that was there actually got up and left. He couldn't take it, you know, between being so high and just the eeriness of the music. He's like, guys, I'm sorry. I got to leave, man. This is freaking me out. It was pretty freaky. So either he was just paranoid from the pot or maybe he sensed something. I don't know. But in any case, I sensed something not long after. We had the thing moving, and it spelt out the name of, you know, some supposed entity that was there. And but that wasn't enough for me. I wanted something more to convince me that there was something there, because there's always a chance somebody there is moving the damn thing, you know. So I summoned the spirit. I said, you know, we sense that you're here, but could you give us another sign to convince us more than just making this thing move and spelling your name out? You know, can you give us another sign that we can know more for sure? Anyway, it stopped moving for what seemed an eternity. It was probably only 10 or 15 seconds. And it seemed like nothing was going to happen. I was starting to get disappointed. And then all of a sudden, a friend's dog, whose apartment we were at, started freaking out. I mean, freaking out. So we all jumped up, ran into the kitchen. The damn thing is running in a circle, looking up at the light on the, you know, on the kitchen ceiling, freaking out, howling away. This dog was petrified. We tried to grab him. We tried to calm him down. There was no calming that dog down. He was just losing it, freaking out. And anyways, you know, he was running toward the door, scratching at the door now. So I went over. And I opened up the door, and as he ran out, he knocked over, a stack of boxes. He knocked over the trash bucket. I mean, he flew out that door. He couldn't get out of there fast enough. We couldn't get him back in the rest of the night. And this was in the wintertime, too. It was pretty freaking cold out. He would not come in. So, I mean, you know, is there a rational explanation? Possibly, yeah. But I'm pretty convinced something really out of the ordinary was going on there. It was just really bizarre. But like I said, I'm not totally convinced. You know, I think if I was to go on one of those ghost hunting excursions, if I heard something whisper in my ear when I know there's nobody else in the room and there's just no other explanation, that would probably do it for me. This woman, again, she had no reason to lie to me. She said that, yeah, she says, I've been doing this for years. She mentioned one place they go to specifically. That's just a couple towns away from me. I know where it is, so I don't even need her for that. I could actually contact them sometime if I can get the Colleones up to do it. I want to experience it, but at the same time, I don't. You know, if there's something to it, I don't want that thing following me home. But anyway, I've had some other weird experiences, too. That was probably the freakiest. But I've got some other weird things. Anyway, why I got off onto that tangent, I forgot now. But discussion at hand here. A lot of these music stars, I guess that's how I got onto that topic. You know, they've related weird stories. They talk about entities as though they're real, you know, like the Rain Man. They talk about it as though this is a real person. They really sold their souls to this Rain Man or to this devil as though he's real. Well, is it because they think this thing is real, or they're hucksters that want you to think it's real, or have they simply, you know, been misled to think that it's real because they're MKUltra or because they were on drugs and didn't know the difference? You know, or is there something real to it? You know, is there some real force behind it? Who knows? Who knows, guys? In any case, a lot of them do appear to really think it's real, whether it is or not. They really think it is. So whether this Rain Man, this devil, is a real entity, or whether it represents their frickin' handlers who have convinced them that it's real, when it comes out in the wash, it may as well be real. It's real to a lot of them. Anyway, getting back to Rihanna's lyrics here. The Rain Man in this song is not Jay-Z, like I said, but someone else named Rain Man. Again, in this song, obviously, in this context, it's supposed to be this entity that she referred to, or the devil. Rihanna herself admitted this on the set while filming the Umbrella video for her song, The Umbrella. She stated that this song, quote, has a deeper meaning to it. You have to really listen to it, she says, implying that, yeah, this Rain Man is not Jay-Z. It's someone other than him. In Jay-Z's song, Anything, we find these lyrics. Amateur pole dancing. Come and get this cash from me. They call me Rain Man. She tried to rain dance. Rain dance. Dancing to get rain, a rain of cash. In this context, again, he's the Rain Man. So sometimes Rain Man refers to the devil, sometimes it refers to someone who's devil-possessed, or someone who fulfills the role of the devil who rains money on them, which can be them themselves or, you know, their agents, whatever. Well, let's take a look at the Rain Man movie, of course, the 1988 film starring Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman. In the storyline, of course, Charlie, played by Cruise, uses his autistic savant brother, Raymond, or Rain Man, played by Hoffman, to make him tons of money by card counting for him in Vegas. So there's the real theme of Rain Man right there. They want the gullible public to think that Rain Man just refers to the name Raymond the way that this autistic person used to pronounce it when he was little, pronounced his name as, you know, Rain Man. But no, it really refers to the role that he played in the movie as the Rain Man, cash in from his exploiting brother who used his talents, you know, to rig gambling games by card counting. Interestingly, in one scene of this movie, Charlie has his autistic brother dress up fancy like himself in expensive matching gray suits. In Eminem's video, We Made You, Eminem and Dr. Dre, his record producer, are both dressed up in matching suits just like the ones worn by Charlie and Raymond in Rain Man. This is done deliberate. So the symbology here
is that Rain Man is talking about Dr. Dre, Eminem is talking about Dr. Dre being his Rain Man. And he's playing the part of Raymond, who's being exploited by Dr. Dre to make money for him. He's his, you know, in a sense, they're both each other's Rain Man. Dr. Dre is using the talents of Eminem to make money, but Eminem is also using him to a lesser degree because it's through him booking all his tours and everything, you know, producing his records, whatever. Anyway, in this video, also in this video, Eminem plays, I already made that point, sorry. Anyway, even though people can assume the role of Rain Man, as we have seen, you know, in a lot of these songs, the ultimate Rain Man in the entertainment world, anyway, is supposed to be the devil himself. So you can be a Rain Man too, but the Rain Man, according to the themes in these songs, is the devil. Anyway, let's look at yet more artists that pick up this theme. Many others. For example, Savage and his Wild Out, Blackstone Cherry and their Blind Man, Jamie Foxx and his Rain Man, here we go again, Game in their song Cali Sunshine, meaning California Sunshine. Here's some of the lyrics from this last mentioned song, Cali Sunshine. With more ass than delicious, that's my flower of love. We make it rain like Rain Man. Then we play with the glove. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. I got a good guess, but I won't elaborate on that. Sick and twisted. But nevertheless, look at the mention here of Rain Man once again. Even the heavy metal band Wasp, in their song The Burning Man, mentions, quote, the Rain Man theme. And this is nothing new. Bob Dylan, in his 1966 album, Blonde on Blonde, in the song Stuck Inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues, again, sang these lyrics. Now the Rain Man gave the two cures. Then he said, jump right in. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. But here's Dylan back in the frickin' 60s, guys, using this same theme. In his song, I Want to Be Your Lover, Dylan further sang, well, the Rain Man comes with his magic wand, and the judge says Mona can't have no bond. Again, whatever that's supposed to mean. But notice, guys, the Rain Man theme, once again, in another Dylan song. We find the Rain Man theme in country music as well. Former country music star Tanya Tucker did a track called Lizzie and the Rain Man. My God, man, it doesn't stop. There's no end. So clearly, the Rain Man theme is pervasive in the entertainment industry, be it movies, songs, music videos, whatever. And has been for quite some time now. And seeing who runs that industry and how evil they are, should we be the least bit surprised? Anyway, that finishes our entertainment industry series for now. Anyway, I'll come back to that more in the future. There's no end to that. I mentioned last week how I was going to do another series on some more satanic cult child abuse rings that have been exposed over the years. The Franklin cover-up, again, is one obvious example. I have covered that in the past. But there have been many, many others in this country as well as abroad. Let's look at the famous McMartin case. Some of you might recall that. Let's see. Yeah, some of you might recall this. This one concerned charges of child sexual abuse that involved hundreds of children giving their personal testimonies. The story first broke back in 1983 during the era of the Franklin affair, just before the story broke, but the Franklin cover-up itself took place at this very time. So these were two major child sex rings taking place at the same time, not just involving, child abuse and exploitation and whatever, but actual snuff films were involved in the Franklin incident. So at the same time that was going on over in Nebraska, over in California, you had this McMartin frickin' thing, both of which had goddamn CIA and FBI written all over them. CIA playing an active role, the FBI probably an active role, but at least later on engaging in the cover-up of it anyway. That many children coming forward with the same story, that a major investigation would have immediately been underway. But no, ladies and gentlemen. Instead, law enforcement officials dragged their feet and tried to make light of the whole thing, acting like the children were attention-starved and simply making it up. Can you imagine? No child has an imagination to dream up heinous, outrageously hideous things like what these kids described. And yet this was the claim that these SOBs were making, that it was just in their minds. The whole thing was swept under the rug all the while. Evidence kept surfacing that something very bad had indeed gone on at this center. And worse still, people connected it one way or another, the general public anyway, it was making connections with other reported instances like this. They were seeing similarities that these kids couldn't even have, again, dreamt up. And people were actually turning up dead. People who were, witnesses or demanding that an investigation be launched. There were deaths occurring, and yet all the while, guys, officialdom, officials in California, officials in the federal government were washing this, under the rug. The media, of course. Well, we know who controls all of that, don't we? Anyway, let's look at the McMartin body count and cover-up. On December 20th of 1986, Judy Johnson, the woman whose initial complaint eventually led to the McMartin teachers being arrested, was found dead in her home at age 42. It was said that she had received several threats on her life and was constantly being followed prior to her death. But nothing came of the investigation, if there ever really was one to begin with. Anyway, the McMartin scandal culminated in 1990, at which time a high-profile rigged trial was conducted, resulting in all charges being freaking, well, go figure. However, the story didn't end there. Soon after, because of the persistence of some of the parents, an independent dig done at the old preschool site revealed a system of underground tunnels that the abused children had described in their testimonies. The tunnels were real. It was said that it was all imagined, all dreamt up. They discovered the tunnels were real. These tunnels and a couple large underground rooms had been filled in with dirt and concrete before the building was demolished. God damn it. We're trying to hide the frickin' evidence. But the government and preschool apologists tried to explain these structures away as garbage. Oh, Jesus Christ almighty, man. The media, as always, sided with the preschool and the government and made light of the charges of the parents and the abuse testimonies of the children, once again. The worst example of this was an article written by a tribal journalist, Alexander Cockburn, for the February 8, 1990 Wall Street Journal, entitled The McMartin Case, Indict the Children, Jail the Parents. Can you friggin' believe this goddamn BS? Disgusting, despicable little bastard. That was the name of the article. Indict the Children, Jail the Parents. Jesus, goddamn Christ. Look at the world we live in, ladies and gentlemen. Just take a good hard look at it. Do you see how, if you want to go places in this world, the way they define going places, oh, you do have to sell your soul. You have to absolutely strip yourself of anything even remotely resembling a conscience. You cannot, you must not have one. And if you don't, you're all set. You will go places, so to speak, if you can call that going places. Oh, the big bucks will roll in. You'll live a cozy, comfy, cushy-ass life. But look what a piece of raging Shiite you have to become to get there. I'll pass. Thank you very much. I'll pass. They can have all their glories and glamour all they want and drown in it. And they will, too, eventually. They will drown in it. You call that living? You call that living? Let me tell you something, folks. As much as this world sucks ass, and it does, I still enjoy my life. I bet I enjoy my life more than most wealthy people. I do. Oh, I hate what I see around me. It makes me sick to my goddamn stomach. But I still enjoy life. And if you're not enjoying it, you've got to get more creative. There's all kinds of ways, you know, that you can make life pleasant for you and those around you without goddamn money. But they want you to think you've got to have money, usually ill-gotten money, to be happy. No, that's, again, that's not happiness. God damn it, I wish I could remember what that illustration was I wanted to use earlier. It was a good one. I just can't think of what the hell it was. But anyway. Yeah, it's totally slipped my mind. That bugs me. I can't for the life of me. I think it was something. It was a personal experience that I had, and I can't think of what the hell it was. Anyway, the Children's Institute International had investigated a child rights advocacy group, had investigated the claims of the children of this preschool, the McMartin preschool, and determined that 80% of them exhibited physical signs of abuse, including vaginal or rectal scarring. Can you imagine? All the while, government officials are poo-pooing the thing. The media is poo-pooing it. We should indict the children, jail the parents. All the while, these bastards are saying this. This child rights advocacy group discovered that 80% of them had physical indicators of abuse. They didn't just interview them and discover that their stories, added up and made sense and were sound and sober. They had them examined and found that, yes, they actually had physical signs. You're going to tell me they made up the physical signs, too? There were also former McMartin students, now young adults, who corroborated the stories of these children. But still, the tribe-controlled media played the whole thing down. Jesus freaking Christ, man. Obviously, the McMartin case involved very high-level government officials now, didn't it, to be covering this up the way they did. In fact, powerful Hollywood figure Abby Mann, another tribe member, aggressively defended the accused McMartin officials to the extent of convincing CBS to air a 60 Minutes episode that was basically a brief for the defense.
60 Minutes, that's supposed to be on top of scandals and exposing them.
Here they were defending the official scandalizers, folks. Damn it, is this disgusting. How much you want to bet Abby Mann was probably a customer of the McMartins? They probably had him pay visits and have his way with the kids. So, of course, he's going to defend them. Anyway, more strange, untimely deaths in this case were to follow. KABC reporter Wayne Satz had broken the McMartin story in 1984. And unlike most of his peers in the media, he strongly believed the allegations were true. He died of a heart attack, ladies and gentlemen, so-called, in January of 1993 at the very young age of 7. I highly doubt that was a natural cause death. Robert Winkler, whom the McMartin children claimed was a frequent guest at the preschool and was referred to as the Wolf Man, was later arrested for running a babysitter service in Torrance, California, which was said to be a front for a child sexual abuse ring. He turned up dead just before his trial from an alleged drug overdose. How much you want to bet it was feared that he was going to spill the beans, baby? Obviously, someone was afraid, or indeed a lot of people were afraid in high places that he was going to open his mouth. Sure. Why wouldn't they think that? He probably thought he was never going to get arrested, just like Lee Harvey, right? I'm with them. They're going to take care of me. And then when he gets arrested, look at goddamn Ruby. Jack Ruby told Chief Justice Warren, get me out of here and I'll give you a story that, about the Kennedy assassination that will blow the lid off of it. Little did he know, poor Mr. Ruby, just how set up he was, that Mr. goddamn Warren himself was in on the goddamn cover-up. Jesus Christ. Oh, what a world. God damn it, what a world. Anyway, former Hermosa Beach police officer Paul Bynum, who had been hired by the victim's parents as a private investigator, died before his scheduled testimony could be delivered, supposedly from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Right! Sure, of course. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Look at this. Los Angeles District Attorney Robert Philibosian announced just after the story was broken by reporter Wayne Satz that the 1976 murder of Karen Klass was going to be re-examined for possible connections to the McMartin scandal. Klass was the ex-wife of famed singer Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers. She had been murdered about an hour after dropping off her 5-year-old son at the McMartin preschool. Her husband, Gerald Klass, died in March of 1984, shortly after the first indictments in the case, when he drove off a mountain road one afternoon in Oregon. Just decided he was going to drive off the side of the road. Obviously, his brake line was cut, ladies and gentlemen. God damn it. Look at this. Look at the trail of freaking crimes. Former FBI agent Ted Gunderson made this shocking observation. He said the FBI has an accurate count of the number of automobiles stolen every year. It knows the number of homicides, rapes, and robberies, but the FBI has no idea of the number of children who disappear every year. They simply do not ask for the statistics. Every month, every major police department in the United States files its uniform crime statistics with the FBI. It would be simple for the Bureau to add one more column to the statistics and get a breakdown of every reported case of missing children. Not to even mention children who are kidnapped for ritualistic purposes and, in some cases, murdered. I am convinced, he said, that the FBI does not ask for these statistics because they do not want to see them. And why? Because they know that the goddamn CIA is responsible for a great many of them. That's why. Their job is to cover it up. Again, guys, just read goddamn Franklin cover-up if you have the stomach for it. I read it, but I don't have the stomach for it. It wasn't a pleasant read, I got to tell you. There's some incredibly graphic crap in there that just churned my stomach. But he describes in there how every attempt he made to go to Washington with this investigation and bring to justice some of the Washington scum that were involved in this failed because the FBI blocked him at every goddamn turn. This is why, even though they have a list of all the stolen cars, blah, 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 they have no list of missing children. They don't follow up on this, guys, or very rarely anyway. But they don't keep a database like they do for, you know, stolen cars and other stuff. Nope. They already know who's behind it most of the time. And their job, once again, is to cover it up. Very often, they outright participate in it, too. Anyway. As with the Franklin case, satanic ritual abuse was said to have been a major factor in the McMartin affair. So it wasn't just sexual abuse. It was satanic ritual abuse. The descriptions the kids gave clearly was that of satanic ritual. But just like all other cases of this nature, the whole thing has been swept completely under the rug in spite of all the irrefutable evidence, all the deaths surrounding this goddamn case. And the evil trend still continues on, here and abroad, not just here. All right, that's the McMartin case. Let's look at another one. The Finders, another very famous case like this. A strange group called the Finders was first reported in the mainstream media back in 1993 and 94. These reports were carried in the December 27th, 1993 edition of U.S. News and World Report, the and the February 7th, 1997 edition of the Washington Post. What was this group and what was it up to? Well, this is an interesting story. On February 4th, 1987, Tallahassee, Florida police were alerted to the fact that six ill-clad, extremely dirty young children had been sighted in a nearby park. Two adults with them were subsequently arrested and found to be connected to the Finders. an organization based in Washington, D.C. The children were all under 7, and only one of them could speak. The others were mutes. Anyway.
Fucking died. Jeez, man. Suck blog talk.